Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear a hit single that was produced by Dick Clark's booth announcer in the early Philadelphia-based seasons of American Bandstand. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will appreciate a classic blues track from the cousin of Albert Collins. Albert's cousin felt like the blues entered him after he met Blind Lemon Jefferson at a church picnic. Later, we will award a bonus hit at number 6 to an act that has done a lot more than place 6 albums into the top 40 of the album chart. This act placed 6 studio albums at number 1 on the album chart. And finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will listen to a guitar solo that one publication called the greatest solo of all time, while another credited the solo as having the best lead guitar tone of all time. But first, just as we do every week, we start with a song that at some point was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak and then went into hiding. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we begin with a song that noted critic William Ruhlman called, quote, a rollicking pop rock song about being almost terminally burnt out, close quote. The song itself originally was composed at a different tempo and with an extra verse. The artist's original publisher felt that the tune was bleak. The artist converted his bleak tune into a hit record when he updated the beat, ditched some unnecessary lyrics, and called on Jesse Ed Davis to play lead guitar and Russ Kunkel to play drums. To take it to the next level, some amazing harmonies were provided by David Crosby and Graham Nash.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise to leave them open for so never noticed them until I got this feeling that it's later than it seems. Doctor, my eyes, tell me what you see. I hear their cries. Just say if it's too late for me.
Song that debuted on the Billboard Hot 100 at number 80 and then spent 1 week at number 40 on its way up to a peak at number 8. That was Jackson Browne and his breakthrough hit, Doctor My Eyes.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 20.
20.
Back in the late 60s and early 70s, Ron West, along with his brothers Gary and Steve, were mainstays on the Kansas City rock scene, first with the Chessmen and later with two different acts that evolved from that band, Shooting Star, led by Gary, and Missouri, led by Ron. By 1977, Panama Records released Missouri's debut album, made up primarily of Ron West's compositions. Missouri received considerable airplay on AOR FM stations in the Midwest in late 77 with the track Moving On. That airplay led to a deal with Polygram and a follow-up album, which was actually their major label debut. With their album creeping onto the album chart at number 185 40 years ago, Record World airplay reports indicate that Ron West and his group started receiving heavy action in Miami on WSHE-FM and were outperforming James Taylor, Bob Dylan, and Bad Company on Wyoming's most powerful station, KAWY-FM.
I've been searching.
Ron West song that they certainly played in the late 70s at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City during Willie Nelson's 4th of July picnic there, that was Missouri and So Far Away.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen and you're listening to Alt Universe Top 40. Now we are up to a song that really did reach number 11. In fact, it was the number 11 single on the Record World chart during this week in 1979. On the Cashbox chart, it was number 14, and it was listed at number 16 on the Billboard Hot 100. From their live album that was flaming hot 40 years ago on WAQX-FM Syracuse, here are Rick Nielsen, Robin Zander, Tom Peterson, and Bun E. Carlos, collectively known as Cheap Trick.
Thank you.
with a song at number 11 that went to number 1 in Japan and eventually peaked at number 7 in the United States. That was Cheap Trick and I Want You to Want Me.
Number 10.
Last week, we played Let Me Out from the album Get the Knack at number 2, stating that it should have been a number 1 single. Now, here is another track from that amazing album, and it should have reached number 10. I personally heard side one of Get the Knack the very day the album was released. I can vividly recall being turned loose as a 15-year-old at the White Dog Record Store in Jonesboro, Arkansas, to look for the album You're Gonna Get It by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I had only recently figured out that it was Petty who had released the single Listen to Her Heart, and I hit the store that day with the sole purpose of tracking down that song. But moments after I walked in the store, the sound system blared out the intro to Let Me Out, and I was floored. By the time O Tara came on, I stood and listened in part amazement, part jealousy, and part excitement to someone doing exactly what I wanted to do. After side one of the album finished, I awoke from being transfixed and I asked the clerk about it. I found out that it was called Get the Knack and that it had been released that day. I also learned that the store had no more vinyl copies left for sale, but they did have one cassette. I bought it with all the money I had, since I had to special order Petty's You're Gonna Get It anyway. Over time, I will certainly tell several more stories that deal with the Knack, but here is the song that knocked your gracious host, me, on my blue Tarski back when I was 15 years old. From Get the Knack, here is O Tara.
O Tara, oh, oh, you squeeze my heart and then you let it go. O Tara, my oh my, I can't help falling, no, I wouldn't try. I can't explain, no, I don't know how. And all my talking means nothing now. It only frightens you anyhow. You'll never know what you've done to me. The agony and the ecstasy. Ooh, Tara, it's alright, but I miss you tonight. Oh, Tara, oh, whoa, oh. Squeeze my heart and then you'll let it go. Ooh, Tara, my oh my, I can't. Something I never planned. You're thinking of me as just a friend. My heart is breaking, I can't pretend. Ooh, Tara, it's for real. I can't help how I feel. Oh, Tara, oh, oh. You squeeze my heart and then you let it go. Ooh, Tara, my oh my.
Number one album, Get the Knack. That was The Knack with O Tara.
Number nine.
Now we are up to a song that really was number 9 on the Cashbox charts 52 years ago this week. It was a Baroque rock single that featured keyboards by Artie Butler, the same brilliant session player who provided the organ part for the Cowsills Hall of Perfection track, The Rain, The Park, and Other Things. On the Billboard charts, the single actually peaked at number 9 during the last full week of June into July 1967. The skilled record producer that put this remarkable single together was Jerry Ross, who grew up in Philadelphia. After working in Armed Forces Radio, Jerry took classes at Temple University and ultimately became the booth announcer for Dick Clark's early television broadcasts of American Bandstand. Jerry then set up his own production company and learned every aspect of record producing. He signed Kenny Gamble to a songwriting contract at age 17 and wrote songs with him, including I'm Going to Make You Love Me, which was ultimately recorded by Diana Ross and the Supremes and the Temptations. Later, Jerry took a job as A&R man with Mercury Records, where he produced hits for Jay and the Techniques, Bobby Hebb, and the group that was sitting at number 9 52 years ago, Spanky and Our Gang. Hit that came about as a result of some incredible teamwork between the artist, the vocalist, the producer, and the additional studio musicians. That was the number 9 song on the Cashbox charts 52 years ago this week, Sunday Will Never Be the Same by Spanky and Our Gang.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
Auden and Gray should have reached number 8.
Now we are up to a song that is truly modern and great, and it should have reached number 8. The name of the song is Assignments, and it is from the soundtrack album of the John Cusack movie called The Numbers Station. Based on the fact that my radio show is primarily a shortwave radio endeavor, I have had several people recommend to me that I watch the movie The Numbers Station. I must admit that prior to those recommendations, I had never even heard of the movie. I have, however, heard the real Numbers Stations on shortwave radio. The other night, I tracked the movie down and I watched it. In addition to being a very enjoyable thriller, the soundtrack was perfect for the movie. I found out that the music was performed by Paul Leonard Morgan. The song Assignments stood out to me as a composition that was somewhere in between the theme from The Warriors by Barry DeVorzon and Tubular Bells by Mike Oldfield. With an instrumental that will make your hair stand on end, here is Paul Leonard Morgan with the song Assignments from the Number Station soundtrack. With a song that is truly modern and great and should have reached number 8, that was Paul Leonard Morgan with the song Assignments from the Numbers Station soundtrack.
All Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7, and it is by the cousin of and the person who introduced the guitar to our little slice of heaven act from last week, Albert Collins. Samuel John Lightnin' Hopkins was born in Centerville, Texas on March 15, 1912. Although he spent most of his young life in Centerville, Hopkins developed his love of music when he met Blind Lemon Jefferson at a church picnic in Buffalo, Texas. Following that meeting with Blind Lemon Jefferson, Hopkins felt that the blues, quote, was in him, close quote. Soon, Hopkins began backing Blind Lemon Jefferson on guitar. Most of these performances, though, were actually at informal church gatherings. At some point in the mid-30s, Hopkins was sent to the Houston County Prison Farm for an unknown offense. By the time he was released, he went to Houston and unsuccessfully attempted to break into the music scene. After that failure, he went back to Centerville to make ends meet as a farmhand. In the late 40s, he and pianist Wilson Smith recorded 12 songs for Aladdin Records in Los Angeles. Although the Aladdin releases were not huge sellers, the label nicknamed Hopkins Lightnin' and Wilson Thunder. Later recordings for Gold Star Records enhanced Lightnin's reputation. By the mid to late 50s, his output had gained him a number of fans, and his records began to sell. He made his debut at Carnegie Hall October 14, 1960. By 1968, Lightnin' recorded a freeform blues album backed by the psychedelic jam band, the 13th Floor Elevators. He continued his own country blues style throughout the 70s, releasing an average of 2 albums per year and playing practically all the major folk and blues clubs. Lightnin' Hopkins died of esophageal cancer in Houston, Texas in 1982 at the age of 69. At the time of his death, he was described by the New York Times as being, quote, one of the great country blues singers and perhaps the greatest single influence on rock guitar players, close quote. A statue of Lightnin' Hopkins was erected in Crockett, Texas. With our little slice of heaven at number 7, here is Albert Collins' cousin, Lightnin' Hopkins, with Trouble in My Mind.
Trouble in mind, I'm blue, but I won't be blue always. the sun gonna shine in my back door someday. I'm gonna lay my head on some lonesome railroad line. I'm gonna let that big 1800 satisfy this mind of mine. Troubling mind, I'm blue, but I won't be blue always. You know the sun gonna shine in my back door someday. Beating slow. I ain't never had so much trouble in my life before.
With our little slice of heaven at number 7, that was Lightnin' Hopkins with Trouble in My Mind. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Max from the Russian Federation messaged us on Mixcloud, and he told us that our episode from June 15 was a favorite of his. Thank you, Max. Pepper from Belgium says, "Hey, how are you?" Well, Pepper, we are doing just fine. We are happy that you have found us, and we hope you are doing fine, too. Al from the Ukraine says he heard our 7440 broadcast with his portable receiver and a 20-meter long wire. He reports light fades throughout the hour, and he enjoyed the music. Thank you, Al. We wish you the best. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album charts. And today's act has easily achieved that feat, scoring 6 number 1 studio albums in the U.S. and 1 number 1 live album for a total of 7 number 1 albums. But this act has never topped any of the singles charts in the U.S., although their second single came close when it peaked at number 2 on the Cashbox survey. According to the group's manager, this act made albums to be appreciated as a whole, and to them, singles were an afterthought. That approach worked for a time, which I suppose is one of the reasons we are going to play a very well-known song as a bonus hit. This particular track was a driving force behind a number one album, but it only reached number 51 on the Billboard Hot 100. On a pure airplay chart, it, of course, would have fared much better, which is why we are placing it at number 6 today.
Hey lady, you got the love I need. Maybe more than enough. Oh, darling, 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 walk a while with me. You got so much, so much, so much.
Thank you.
the blockbuster number one album Houses of the Holy. That was the track that Spin magazine bestowed with the title of Led Zeppelin's greatest song ever, Over the Hills. My name is John McMullen, and you are listening to Alt Universe Top 40. Last week at number 5, we played a track by one of the three rock acts signed to the Ardent subsidiary of Stax Records, Big Star. We also mentioned that, during the final mixing of two of Big Star's best-known songs, a label mate from the Hot Dogs just happened to be present as John Fry put the finishing touches on those legendary recordings. In many ways, the Hot Dogs and Cargo both share common traits with Big Star. Specifically, the clarity of the drum sound and the punchiness of the lead vocals are just two ways all three of those bands resemble each other. But John Fry was not the actual producer of the Hot Dogs. That job was filled by another brilliant ear working in Memphis at the time, Terry Manning. We have already mentioned Terry Manning's name several times before. He engineered Al Green's Let's Stay Together. He was ZZ Top's engineer on practically every notable recording of theirs. He produced Mean to Your Queenie by Point Blank, which we played just a few weeks ago. And he produced The Hot Dogs. The Hot Dogs track we are playing today is called Another Smile, which was released as a single in 1973. This lazy acoustic rock song was another one of theirs produced by Terry Manning, and it was written by, that's right, the ever-present Jack Holder.
Another smile, another day, another worry, another way. Time to sit and hold you close, time to fade as all uprose. And other ways of doing things seem small in me compared to all of this we need. See man, blind man's ball, children's game.
On the Record World charts, those were the Hot Dogs and their 1973 song, Another Smile.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 4.
Now we are up to number 4, which usually means that we are going to play a song that did considerably better on the British charts than it did in the United States. Today, though, we are going to focus on a song that did much better on the Australian charts than it did in the United States. The song is perhaps the best-known song by an incredibly tight band from Auckland, New Zealand, that recorded between the late 70s and the mid-80s, Split Enz. It became a new wave classic in the United States, receiving airplay as an album track on American FM stations. It only reached number 53 on the Billboard Hot 100, though, and number 50 on the Cashbox Singles Survey. In England, the single peaked at number 12, and in Canada, it reached number 13. It was the number one song of the year in Australia.
I got
4, that was Split Ends and I Got You.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3.
Now we are up to our 3 from way downtown, and today we're talking about downtown Raleigh, North Carolina. Guitarist Mike Cannell formed the group The Cannells in 1984 with his brother David Cannell on bass, Doug McMillan on lead vocals, and John Schultz on drums. Soon, though, Schultz left the band to pursue his true passion, filmmaking. Peel Wimberly took his place, and George Huntley was added on guitar, keyboards, and vocals. Their initial breakthrough happened when their independently pressed vinyl album was released in England on Elvis Costello's label, Demon Records. This led to 2 of their videos being aired on MTV's 120 Minutes program. For their next project, they again recorded independently and then sought distribution for their finished product. This arrangement worked perfectly for fellow college rockers REM and their distribution agreement with IRS Records. Based upon that model, the Cannells signed with mid-major TVT Records, entering into a contractual arrangement that ultimately resulted in litigation, with the band unsuccessfully suing to get out of that contract. Undaunted, in the early 90s, the band went back into the studio to record their next album, even through all the tension they were experiencing with the label. They emerged with a brilliant track called 7475, which received all sorts of college radio airplay in the United States and reached number 14 on the British singles chart. We believe that this song should have reached number 3 in the United States and in England.
God. I was
Way downtown. That was the Raleigh, North Carolina band, The Canals, and their single 7475. Incidentally, their original drummer, who had a passion for filmmaking, did, in fact, become a Hollywood director. He has directed numerous movies, including The Honeymooners, Aliens in the Attic, Judy Moody and the Not Bummer Summer, and the remake of the movie that we mentioned last week while discussing Albert Collins, Adventures in Babysitting.
Universe Top 40.
Number 2.
Now we are up to number 2, which means we are going to play a song that we believe should have reached number 1. And this song, which reached number 14 on the Billboard charts and the Cashbox charts, sounds like a number 1 song. It was released along with this group's second album on the heels of their very successful first album. The success of that first album, though, was never truly reflected on the charts, as various radio stations around the country caught on to this catchy new wave band one at a time, each in their own time. Their label, Elektra Records, noticed that their first album, titled simply The Cars, was continuing to generate airplay, and they wanted to delay the release of this single and the second album. But the band was ready to get the new record released. According to Rick Ocasek, quote, "At first, Elektra wanted to hold it back some, but we told them there was no way, because if they were going to hold that back, they were going to hold us back, and we can't just sit around and be held back," close quote. The band proved to be correct, with the new album Candy O shooting right up to number 3, while their first album from the previous year continued to generate momentum in various spots. With bassist Benjamin Orr singing lead, here are The Cars with a song that is far too well known to have only peaked at number 14. Let's go.
She won't give up, 'cause she said
with our song at number two, which should have reached number one. Those were the Cars and Let's Go. Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number one, and it is truly an FM rock classic, having been voted by Planet Rock as containing the greatest guitar solo of all time. Guitarist Magazine selected this recording as having the greatest lead guitar tone ever achieved during a solo. As for that legendary lead guitar part, David Gilmour told Guitar World, quote, "I banged out five or six solos. From there, I just followed my usual procedure, which is to listen back to each solo and make a chart, noting which bits are good. Then, by following the chart, I create one great composite solo by whipping one fader up, then another fader, jumping from phrase to phrase until everything flows together. That's the way we did it on Comfortably Numb," close quote.
Hello, is there anybody in there? Just not if you can hear me. Is there anyone home? Come on, come down. I hear you breathing down. Well, I can ease your pain, get you.
Thank you.
Perfection track at number one. That was Pink Floyd with Comfortably Numb. Well, that's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.